So welcome, welcome everybody. And welcome to Happy Hour. And thank you, Neil, for putting that in the chat box, the link, if you're interested, to a forum in which you can connect to other people who participate here. And just a reminder that that link only is made available here. So it's only for people who participate in Happy Hour. And tonight, I'd like to continue. I've been talking about loving kindness for difficult people. And I'd like to continue on this theme, just as a, in the spirit of offering some tools or some different ways in which we might work with this, with the difficult person, which maybe not surprising is difficult, and different ways to approach it. And maybe it's not the right time for you right now to be working with the difficult person, but maybe there will be a time in which it feels like you could use some support or some guidance, and then you can come back to this and listen to these if it's helpful. So again, I'm going at a certain pace. Doesn't mean it's the right pace for you. It's probably not the right pace for anybody. It's just kind of like in the purpose of teaching, it's done this way. So don't feel like you have to be going in exactly the switching the people we're sending loving kindness to at precisely the times I am or something like this. If it doesn't quite feel right, then follow your intuition. And those of you who have lots of experience with this, maybe you've been doing this all along, which I think is great. So just saying this as a caveat, an encouragement for all of us to follow our own practice. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, why we might do loving kindness for difficult people. Sometimes we might say, I don't want to do loving kindness for them. But it might be that when we have difficult people in our mind, we find ourselves thinking again and again about what we're going to say to them the next time we see them, or if we don't have an actual relationship with them, like things that they've said or they've done, or we just find it filling up our minds, taking up residency in our minds in a way that's not helpful. And I heard this expression, which sometimes feels appropriate, this idea that when we have difficult relationships or difficult people in our lives, and we find ourselves ruminating about them, is to ask ourselves, are we grinding the axe of hatred? So you're kind of like this. You know, like this, when I'm thinking of grinding the axe, I'm thinking of those, I don't know what the word is right now, where they spin really fast and you put the knife or the blade on and the sparks are flying when you put the blade on or something like this, grinding the axe of hatred. Maybe hatred is too strong a word, but there's a way in which we might be grinding the axe of something that doesn't really support us, doesn't help us to be or to show up in our life, show up in the world in the way that we want to, with freedom and ease and care, respect. So to do some loving kindness for for difficult people is a way in which we might be able to shift our relationship, in which we might find a little bit more breathing room, which might find a little bit less sense of stuckness, and a little bit less of a sense of, well, they are this way and I'm this way. You know, this fixedness. I think I used that word recently. But instead, can we choose a view? Can we modify our view? Can our view shift a little bit of the difficult people that helps to bring understanding to ourselves, that is understanding that there's a bigger picture that we don't know about. It's impossible for us to know about. And that we are more than the person who was harmed or angered or upset by what happened. And they are more than that too. Even though we might not see it, people have a depth to them that often we don't see. So to shift our view in a way that helps us to bring balance to ourselves, and that it helps us to keep our energy, doesn't drain our energy. So that then we can instead use that energy for what's important to us, what's meaningful for us, what's our aspirations, our what's the brings the most value and meaningfulness maybe to our lives. So that's maybe why, how to do some of this practice, or why to do this practice with a loving kindness for difficult people. And then I want to talk just a little bit with how. There's some ways in which doing it for difficult people is exactly the same as with the lovable being. But that's usually the case if you have been, if you're on a retreat, for example, and you're just steeped in loving kindness for days, weeks, months. I know a few people have done like a year on retreat, loving kindness, right? They just, of course, come out transformed. They talk about how what a shift it was. And so it's just like you don't move on into the next category of persons until you feel you're ready. But if we're going to do loving kindness for a difficult person, maybe without having weeks, months, days on retreat, we might need some extra support. So one that I'd like to reintroduce that I mentioned last time is maybe some different phrases. We might like use some different phrases that help us connect in a way that feels a little bit more authentic. And I'll use these phrases in our guided meditation. I won't go through them now. But another way is the actual manner in which we are practicing loving kindness, that to bring in some of supports. So more specifically, can be really helpful to connect the phrases with the breath. And with the exhale, there is this kind of like sending of goodwill. So it requires being connected to our bodily experience. It requires our being sensitive to what's going on, not just the loving kindness. That often, if we're just lost in our thoughts, it can just very easily slip right into this ruminations that I was talking about. So stay connected with the body, and specifically the exhale can be a real support. And then, I'll guide us a little bit in this evening, in that a way before we start loving kindness practice is to spend some time really connecting with the hands, the experience of hands, the feet, and the belly. These are ways to be embodied, but importantly, if they're a way that we can return to them if we find we're getting overwhelmed or slipping into anger or something that isn't helpful, isn't going the direction we want to have already have this connection with hands, belly, feet, all three or one of them. And I'm also saying for the breath, can be a tremendous support. Just to like, if we find ourselves completely lost in thought, maybe it's helpful instead of come back to the phrases to come back to the hands or the feet, for example. Okay, so with that as an introduction of loving kindness for a difficult person, let's start our practice. taking an alert, upright posture. Taking a posture that supports alertness and our intention, that is to meditate, bring some clarity, some awareness to our experience, but also with some ease, not having stiffness, but also not being too cavalier, somewhere in the middle. And so to sit and know you're sitting, to feel the sensations associated with sitting, the pressure against the body, just the feeling of the body in space. It's in a particular posture. Noticing any areas of tension or tightness that might be softened or relaxed. Sometimes just bringing our attention to different areas, if it doesn't help with a little bit of a loosening, bringing some warm-hearted attention can help shift our relationship to the discomfort or the tightness so that it doesn't have to be a problem. And then to bring awareness to our hands. Both what they're touching. Is it smooth or rough, warm or cool? And then the experience of having hands. Maybe there's a little tingling, pulsing. Maybe we feel areas that have an aliveness to them more than other areas. In some kind of way. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing the sensations in the hands. In the same way, we can bring our attention to the feet. What are they touching? Do we feel pressure against them? And maybe we can sense sensations of having feet, that is, the experience of having feet, throbbing, tingling. How do our feet feel? And the belly. So often we have tightness in the belly. Often we don't even notice until we bring our attention to it. Can we soften any tightness that's there? Or maybe we're a little bit disconnected from our bellies. We're not quite sure. It's perfectly fine. We don't have to make this a big project. And the breath. Bring our awareness to the sensations of breathing. The movement of the chest, the movement of the belly. It can be really helpful to come back to any of these anchors, hands, feet, belly, breath. If we feel like the loving kindness practice is not so helpful, we find ourselves grinding an axe that is not helpful. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, more specifically, bring into mind a lovable being. A being that makes our heart sing in some kind of way. It could be somebody you know. Somebody you know about. It can be a pet. It can be imaginary. And connecting with the lovable being. And allowing yourself to feel the inner smile, so to speak. then to support our cultivating loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might explore and see if there's a comfortable way that the phrases can go with the breath. Some people do the first part, may you be, on an inhale, and the save on an exhale. In a relaxed way, might explore this. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand loving kindness to ourselves. It's always helpful to do loving kindness for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Notice if there's any sense of warmth or spaciousness, softness in the chest and heart center, maybe in the belly, associated with our extending goodwill first to the lovable being and then to ourselves. If so, can we allow that feeling to get as big as it would like? Just allowing, not forcing, not making it, just allowing. And now to do loving kindness for a difficult person. We don't have to choose the most difficult person. Somebody who's a little bit troublesome. We start with the mildly irritating or just in the spectrum of difficulty, difficult persons, not the person at the farthest end, the most difficult. We don't want to feel a struggle when we're doing loving kindness for a difficult person. So you might, I'll be offering some different phrases, but you might have to craft them in a way that feels supportive for you. To bring into mind the troublesome person, the bothersome person. Maybe visualizing this person. Here's some phrases. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. Is there a way in which the breath can be a support for whichever phrases you're using? May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. If distractions arise, we find ourselves lost in thought, we don't have to make it a problem. We can come back to loving kindness or come back to the sensations in the hands or the feet if that feels like it would be supportive. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. And then to end this meditation, you can feel your feet on the ground, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body, And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of loving kindness for a difficult person, maybe being a little bit different or requiring or a little bit more support or being more in tune to what might be supportive. The big one is the body, either in the forms of in a relaxed way, linking the phrases with the breath, often with an exhale. And so that means that maybe the phrases get truncated to just one key word or just in a way that feels natural and comfortable for you. And then recognize if we're sliding down the slope of rumination and feeling anger, just not uncommon. Then one option is to come back to something a little bit tangible and neutral, sensations in the hands or in the feet. Or sometimes bringing awareness to the belly, there might be a little bit of softening that happens that supports some more relaxation and ease. And then, of course, maybe using different phrases. So these are some different ways which might be a support for our doing loving kindness for difficult persons. So now I'd like to provide an opportunity for you all to meet in small groups to talk about this or to explore it, this idea of working with a difficult person and what are the supports that different phrases, being in touch with the body. Maybe you have some your own preferred supports. So there we go. Okay. So if you feel like it would be helpful to have some guidance on who goes first, how about the day, the month you were born. So if you're born on the first of the month, you would go first. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back. I'm sorry, we only have 1 minute before the top of the hour. I'm happy to stay later if people would like, but also I want to respect everybody's time. So maybe we could hear from one person a comment or a question, and then if there's more, we can stay later.
I have a question.
Yes, Jeff.
So Armando and I were talking about loving kindness as like a field, like a field of energy. And he's saying, where did you first hear that? And I said, I thought I heard that here from either Diana or Nikki. Is that, have you talked about loving kindness as kind of a field that you can kind of just tap into that?
I wouldn't have used that language. Nikki might have, but this... maybe it's more like an experience that you can tap into, or a mind state or heart state or something like that, rather than a specific field of energy. Maybe that's something Nikki said or somebody else.
Well, I think the idea is it's something that's kind of already there. So we're not creating it in ourselves. It's already there, and we're just learning to kind of connect with it.
Yeah, so does it exist without a person connecting with it, right? We get into this ontological status of it. And so, but I agree, Jeff, 100% what you're saying. It's like, it's not like we have to manufacture this from nothing. Some of it is like just removing what's getting in the way and just allowing us to tune into this warm-heartedness, this care, this respect, this that we all have. So in that way, I would agree with what you're saying. Yeah. Thank you. So as I said, I'm happy to stay longer. I also want to respect if others feel like they'd like to go, to say thank you. And also to open it up to if other people have other questions or comments.
I have a comment. I thought about sometimes or some people, or sometimes me in the past, I had a list of people that I was difficult people. And maybe that this got shorter and shorter. I realized that sometimes it tells more about me than the other person. So when you go to another place, another country, and you end up having also another person that you have in the list now. So if you can say something about that.
I think you said it, Felipe. You'll notice like, oh, wait. There's something consistent here between all these different... I think that's some real wisdom there. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can add to that. What happens if you do some loving kindness? I shouldn't say what happens. I can imagine loving kindness for oneself, maybe, is in order. Maybe some compassion of, okay, this difficulties of having with other people or whatever difficulties there might be. And some loving kindness as a way to, I don't know, soften our hearts maybe a little bit and our minds. How does that sit?
Yeah, I think there's some work to be done with myself, I think, when that list has a new member, and maybe it's an indicator for maybe where I am internally.
And sometimes we can't really, you said do some work, we can't really do the work, whatever work is, it's different things at different people at different times, but sometimes we can't even see what needs to be done or feel what needs to be done unless we are doing, are approaching it with some warm-heartedness instead of like, dang it, this is a problem and I have to fix it, in a way that kind of encourages a sense of contraction, a sense of I'm wrong or this is wrong, or, you know, it's very different than, wow, okay, Let's see what's going on here, with a sense of curiosity, letting judgment go as best we can, and yeah, maybe with a sense of curiosity rather than this is a huge problem and I have to fix it. That's, you know, different. But maybe you already know that. Maybe one more. If there's another comment or question.
Yeah, I think, hi. I think for me, it brought up like working with anger and just noted, because I got kind of triggered more than I anticipated, and just noticed how in that moment, the things to reach for that I know, like noticing my hands or offering myself compassion, or imagining the person who's difficult for me as like a little kid, things were just harder to remember because I was more strongly triggered by this anger and this pattern of like just feeling my heart contract and I want to blame the other person is like the thing that's right there. And those other tools, I was like, oh wait, right. So that's kind of what I noticed.
That's fantastic. This is exactly how it happens. We slide right into the anger. We're in with the anger for quite a while. And sometimes, you know, for the rest of the meditation period. And then it's not till later we realize, oh yeah, that's right. I could have done something else. So one thing that I didn't say that I myself have found helpful when this would happen to me, when I was doing some love kindness, I had everything except loving kindness like coming up to open my eyes. Somehow that would kind of shift like, oh, here I am. I'm here, actually. I'm not there reliving that experience or something like that. So that's takes minimum effort. Again, we do have to remember, but to open our eyes can be a way to really disrupt that momentum of the anger. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a number of you still here. We're on a roll. Is there another? Even though it's, you know.
I will just say that wishing someone to be without suffering is a pretty low bar. Right. Out of all the expressions, that's the one I find the easiest to meet.
Yeah. Nice. Right. And do you find that just wishing them to be free from suffering is enough to cause just a little bit of a shift in your relationship, at least at that moment? Like it's not lost in anger, but it's a wish for them to be
free. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, I kind of changed my phrases a little. Right. I mean, you know, I find safe and healthy, you know, right, to be a lot easier than, let's say, happy, you know, but adding, you know, right, I mean, without suffering just seems so basic. Right. I mentioned in small group, you know, there are moments when I wish people to be with suffering, but those pass quickly, you know, and I don't wish that on anyone, really, you know. So yeah, I really like, I feel like that's like a good, right. That's like a, you know, even if that's the only step you could take, it seems like a very accessible step to me.
Excellent. Excellent. And that's what we want, right? We just want a little way in. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to do everything the first time. We're just trying to have a little bit of a shift in our relationship. So we don't get stuck and thinking that this person is only that way, and I'm only this way, and our relationship is only this way. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Maybe one last one, and then I'll let you guys go.
Well, I'll go.
Yes,
I was with Mary Christine and Jesse, and I think I'll just parrot what Neil said. We were so appreciative of the phrases that you didn't have to say, I wish you happiness. That was a bar too high. And so we were able, and we were just talking about how grateful we were that you offered some phrases that we could manage. And we were all three saying how timely this was. And for me, I've been ruminating all day about something that my sister said, and to come here and get this from you is just I don't know. The Buddhas have miracle. I don't know. But it was just perfect tonight.
So, oh, great.
Yeah, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing, Barbara. And I'll say, maybe I didn't say it tonight, but I said it last time. The phrases come from Sharon Salzberg. Now, I don't remember exactly where, but she had offered these for difficult people. And I thought, oh, these are helpful. So... okay, so I'm planning on doing difficult people one more time on Thursday, just because I think this is a rich topic and I really haven't spent time on it before. So if you're interested or you have some ideas or questions or something like this, we'll talk about them in 2 days. Okay, thank you all. The deep bows, and if you'd like, we can unmute and say goodbye. So
bye, everybody. Diana, appreciate the extra time.
Thank you for coming.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.